I'm very pleased to welcome to the studio today Robert Voss, who is Her Majesty's Lord Lieutenant of the County of Hertfordshire. Welcome, Robert.
Thank you very much.
You'll forgive me if I don't use the full title, so if you refer to the Lord Lieutenant, that's okay, is it?
Absolutely correct.
One of the things that we're going to have to do is explain to our listeners what on earth that title means and where it comes from and what your job is. But I wanted to go first to you, the man, because you've been a businessman all your life. And you've retired from the company that you were running, I think.
Yes.
Right? Which was in what business?
We basically traded, we bought and sold copper all over the world from some of the producers in places like Africa and in Kazakhstan. Similarly with steel, we had a subsidiary trading in special steels. We had a joint venture manufacturing in India. Metals is a very intricate and interesting world because everybody in the world, bar none, uses metal.
And when you finish with it, that metal has to be recycled.
It's then recycled and everybody in the world produces metal. So every country in the world is a consumer and every country in the world is a producer. So from a trader's point of view, it's ideal because you have numerous suppliers and numerous customers. But of course, the main customers are the developing countries.
Was this a family business?
No. My father, my late father, who died when I was 15, age 50, had been in the business. He was a director of a public company. My grandfather, who died at the ripe old age of 104, also ran a small metal brokerage, but the company I set up myself.
Now, you were born in this country, but your father wasn't born here, was he?
Both my parents were born in Germany. My mother in Hamburg, my father in Mönchengladbach.
And when did they come to the country?
My mother got out quite, I would say comfortably, if that's the right expression, in the beginning of 1936 with her family and came over to the UK in a relatively comfortable manner. My father, unfortunately, didn't. He escaped Germany in May 39, just before the outbreak of the war, and was forced to leave his parents and his brother there. His parents both perished, as I've recently found out, in Sobibor, which was a death camp in Poland. His brother managed to escape first to Holland, and then the Nazis chased him out of Holland, and he got to Belgium. Eventually was caught in Belgium and was put in a concentration camp in Belgium, which was not a death camp, survived that, and in fact remained a Belgian citizen, and my first cousins are still Belgian citizens. He was a big, healthy chap, and I think he was a good worker, quite honestly, put him to work. But unfortunately, I don't know too much about it, because my father particularly and his family would never talk about their experiences in Germany or the war. Mm. He was 19 when he got out. He was thrown out of university, of course, because Jews were not allowed to study in higher education after 1937, and managed to escape and get here in 39. But I have very little knowledge of what happened in the interim, as he would never talk about it.
There are records, but it's a really hard job to discover everything that you want to discover.
Well, luckily, I was involved with a BBC One film last year. They took me back to Germany and did discover what happened to my grandparents, because we actually didn't know. It was top secret when they went to Sobibor. Sobibor had just opened as a death camp and they were one of the first transports in, and Eichmann was keeping it very secret. So we only found out last May, actually, finally what happened to them, which is frightening, really, when you think it's 70 plus years ago. I'm involved in the UK Holocaust Memorial Foundation, where we are building a new memorial and also an education centre, specifically an education centre, not a museum. And the site we've got is a marvellous site, which is in Victoria Gardens next to the House of Lords. Plans have just been agreed and the design has been agreed, and now it's a matter of putting together the education centre, which is being done through a fairly large and significant organisation.
Education is something that you've been involved in various ways. You've kept contact with young people at different stages in your career, is that right?
I have a belief that we have a lot of young talent in this country, particularly business-wise. So my contacts, if you like, have been mostly on the entrepreneurial side. I think we have trailed parts of the rest of the world, particularly America, in promoting young people into business. You know, one always asks the question, would a Mark Zuckerberg of Facebook have made it by the age of 26 with a wealth of about $7 billion if he was in the UK? I question that. So I've always been very interested in young entrepreneurs and pushing them forward. So I got involved with Young Enterprise, which I'm still involved with, which is...
What does that do?
Young Enterprise is a national, in fact, an international organization. It encourages children, normally in year 11, lower six in my day, to start a business, basically. They're encouraged to start a business, they run a business, they have to raise the funding, and it's a competition, but it's an actual business selling actual products or services. And at the end of that academic year, it's wound up. It then goes before a panel of judges, of which I am one, and it then goes on. And in fact, in Hertfordshire, we've done very well. The year before last, we got the second in Young Enterprise Europe, which was held in Berlin, which is quite an achievement because there's something like 32,000 schools entering. From my point of view, the advantage advantage is that these youngsters then leave school with a knowledge of what a balance sheet looks like, or what a profit and loss account is, what profit means, what VAT stands for, which I think is very important and gets them on the road in their further career, whether they're going to business or not. It gives them a huge foot up the ladder. Part of the thing is to encourage more schools to enter, but in Hertfordshire we're fairly well represented, I'm pleased to say, and I enjoy it. I get a lot out of it, and there are some very, very bright young kids out there with some very good ideas, and I think they need encouraging. So I've also set up a Young Entrepreneurs Challenge, and we're now in the middle of doing something very similar at the University of Hertfordshire.
This will be for undergraduates.
Or recent graduates who will, in almost a Dragon's Den type way, have to present their business to some actual genuine investors, and if the genuine investors like what they see, they will be prepared to invest and mentor. If they don't, they won't. It's not a competition. This is real life. And the one disadvantage they have, which we can help, is getting a foot in the door with people like banks and accountants and lawyers. Because having spoken to a lot of potential budding entrepreneurs, they all say the same thing. I can't go and talk to a bank. I'm 21 years old. The bank won't listen to me. That may or may not be the case. But if you've got a successful or two businessmen behind you, you get the entree into banks, into lawyers, into media, which is a huge advantage and a great step up the ladder. So hopefully we'll get some good submissions, and there'll be a number of entrepreneurs or businessmen who'll be prepared to invest. If we like what we see, we'll invest and become shareholders in the next Facebook, hopefully.
And you mentioned the University of Hertfordshire. Your involvement is there is, I think you're on the Board of Governors.
The Board of Governors, correct.
What does that mean? What is your role there?
The Board of Governors, basically, we assist the Vice-Chancellor in running the university. So the Board of Governors basically are independent, except for three who are not independent, but majority are independent people around the county.
Like the non-execs on a company
Absolutely.
Board. So that was all your background, business, education, working with young people, keen to develop entrepreneurial skills. One of the things that many of us probably assume is that the Lord Lieutenancy, if that is the right word, it's got a long history, it goes back to Henry VIII. It sounds very establishment. How do you get into that sort of area? You just get picked up. Somebody says, there's an interesting chap who's doing a good job as a businessman, or what happens?
It's not so much a good job as a businessman. It's whether you can contribute something to the county or are contributing something to the county and the people of the county. I was asked to be a deputy lieutenant by my predecessor, the Countess of Verulam. That's nearly 3 years ago. I was awarded a CBE by Her Majesty in 2014.
For what? For services?
Well, the citation reads for services to business and voluntary work in the UK, which I suppose brought me to the notice of the lieutenancy. And the following year, I was asked to become a deputy lieutenant, which I was delighted to do. But it's not essential that, or necessary, that a Lord Lieutenant has to have served as a deputy. It's quite common, but certainly not essential. And there are numerous cases of Lord Lieutenants who have not served as deputies.
You are now in a role that you will keep for a number of years. Is there a sort of tradition?
Yes, until I'm 75, which is...
Oh, right. So it doesn't matter what age you start, that's when you finish.
Normally, there are exceptions, one being my predecessor, the Countess of Verulam, who came to the role at quite a young age, in her very early 50s, and decided that 10 years was about the right time for her and the lieutenancy, and sought Her Majesty's permission to retire, which was granted, and therefore stood down. The norm is that Lord Lieutenants and Deputy Lieutenants serve until they're 75.
I said it goes back to Henry VIII, and at that time it was a fairly military sort of role. I mean, some sort of protection of the king.
Henry VIII appointed Lord Lieutenants in each of the counties, as per today, and they were responsible, as you quite rightly say, for the military. That changed in the mid-19th century or late 19th century. That was taken away from the Lord Lieutenants, except until 1921, from memory serves me well, that we were allowed to call men to arms. That has now also changed. And then deputy lieutenants were appointed from the mid-16th century, so a few years later. And the number of deputy lieutenants was determined by the population of the counties, which is still the case today. Hertfordshire can have, because of the population we have, I can have 57 deputies. At the moment, within the next couple of weeks, we will be 49.
And these will all be people, we'll come back to the Lord Lieutenant in a moment, but these deputies will all be people who've contributed in some way or other in the sort of way that you mentioned. And what sort of things would be?
A vast variety. The name of the game is really diversity. You know, Hertfordshire is a very diverse county in all aspects, whether it be in social housing, whether it be in religion, whether it be in origin, and therefore the lieutenancy has to be representative of the people of the county. Traditionally, it has been what may be considered the sort of county set, I guess. That is changing now. So deputy lieutenants are in all walks of life, and anybody who has served the county, no matter what their background and what their religion and what their social status or financial status, can become a deputy lieutenant. There's absolutely no reason. A number of the deputy lieutenants have served the county, particularly in charitable ways, a number in business ways. There's a vast variety.
Education, justice.
Education, exactly. Yes. Exactly. Okay.
The Lord Lieutenancy was, under Henry VIII, a military, and you confirmed that. One of the jobs was to raise the militia and so on. Are there still any aspects of what you do that are, in fact, linked to the military?
Yes, very much so. In Hertfordshire, we only have one full-time serving military base, but it's an extremely important one, and that's the Northwood Base. And the Northwood Base is possibly the most important base in Europe. It's head of NATO, it's head of Joint Command, it's head of the Navy, etc., etc. Apart from that, we have a very large reservist and cadet force, and I'm very much involved with that. My Vice Lord Lieutenant, Richard Beasley, is an honorary colonel, but soon to be 4/5 of my deputy lieutenants are military. They were either full-time military people or they are very senior in the reservists. The reserve force is now a vital part of the military machine. I serve as chairman of the reserve and cadet force in Hertfordshire, learning an awful lot about the military that I didn't know.
The cadets, do you see them as an important...
Yes, very much so. One thing that really surprised me on becoming Lord Lieutenant is how wonderful young people are. Young people get a very bad press across the world. We have a huge cadet presence, and I'm talking about Army cadet, I'm talking about Air Force cadet, Sea cadet, Police cadets, Fire cadets, St. John's Ambulance cadets, and a very large and growing and substantial scout movement in Hertfordshire. And that's very rewarding as far as I'm concerned. I also have my own cadets. So every year I appoint traditionally an Army, a Sea and an Air Force cadet, but this year I've added to it a Police cadet. And they are personal cadets to me. They're normally the top-ranking cadets in the county. They help me out at award ceremonies. They come with me to presentations. And they're all wonderful people. And it's very heartening and humbling to talk to some of these youngsters and find out what they're doing. So, yes, the military, as far as modern-day lieutenancy, is still a very important part.
And they'll be in uniform. So are you in uniform?
Yes, most of the time. Yes, I've learnt how to walk with spurs and not trip down the stairs and not stab anybody with my sword. But yes, I wear a uniform, as do some of the deputies, only the males. The females and my predecessor, of course, the Countess of Verulam, did not have a uniform. But I wear the uniform, I believe it's the uniform of an infantry general, and I wear it with great pride. I think it looks great with the cadets standing there alongside me.
But you'll wear this at official events, but you won't wear it every day.
I don't wear it for breakfast. It tends to get in the way of the cornflakes. I'll wear it at official events, so presentations, whether we present British Empire medals or Queen's Awards or certain services, justice services, and a number of other events that people actually would like to see me in uniform, particularly with the youngsters. And it's quite heartening when we go into primary schools to see young people looking at the sword, and they ask the same three questions. They ask, do you live in a castle? Have you met the Queen? And have you killed anybody with your sword? So the answer to the first is no, the second is yes, and the third is no.
There is one Lord Lieutenant, but a lot of deputies. You have a Vice...
I have a Vice Lord Lieutenant, correct.
Well, he comes and goes when you come and go, or is he...
No, that's totally independent. It's entirely the decision of the Lord Lieutenant who becomes Vice Lord Lieutenant and how long they serve for. There's no hard and fast rule.
So you will have been recommended by your predecessor, but you will have been appointed by the Queen.
It's slightly more complex than that. What happened was the head of the Privy Council, who's also head of the Honours Committee in the Cabinet, spends a number of days in the county talking to everybody he can possibly talk to, from bishops to ministers to educationalists to businessmen to deputy lieutenants to high sheriffs, etc., etc., asking for names. He then puts three names forward to the Prime Minister. The Prime Minister does her own due diligence, and she then selects one name to go forward to Her Majesty, and Her Majesty either approves or doesn't approve. In my case, she did approve. So I'm officially appointed by Her Majesty the Queen.
And your role in relation to Her Majesty will be that you are here to meet her when she comes, to stand in for her. How does it work?
It's a lot broader than that. I mean, the principal role is to uphold the dignity of the crown. That is the principal role of the lieutenancy. But of course, I am her personal representative in the County of Hertfordshire, and the deputies are similarly representatives of Her Majesty in the County of Hertfordshire. So it varies. So we will carry out duties on her behalf. We will meet and greet and arrange visits for the monarchy as a whole, for the royal family as a whole. We will present her awards where necessary, where she asks us to. We will stand in for her at numerous events, whether it be funerals or prize givings or civic receptions or whatever, or openings, church services, etc. And obviously, we will report back to Her Majesty, and she does want to know what's going on in the county.
Is it a full-time job?
I found out that so far it is a very full-time job.
There you were, thinking you'd retired.
I thought I'd retired, and yes, it's a full-time job. I just wish I got paid for it.
Yes, I was going to ask that next. You obviously don't.
No, I don't. But it's a huge honour, yes. And I wouldn't expect to be. No.
Were you surprised when you had this opportunity put forward to you?
Totally and utterly shocked. I didn't believe it. And in fact, when I was asked for permission to put my name forward, I said, it can't possibly be me. I'm not aristocracy. I'm not the county set. I'm just a normal human being, first generation British, Jewish, and a businessman. But as I said before, diversity is the name of the game. And we are a diverse country and we're a diverse county. So I believe that diversity comes into all walks of life, including the monarchy, as we are seeing with Prince Harry's fiancée.
Presumably, when something like the new museum and gallery is opened, if Her Majesty is unable to attend, I don't know whether she would even consider it, will you be the official opening?
I will certainly be there. Yeah. It would be very nice if we could get a royal person to come and open it. If not, then of course I will be there representing Her Majesty.
The late Queen Mother was a great fan of particular parts of St Albans. She drove, it is said, along Sandridge Road, just as the trees were out in blossom on her way to their home in Hertfordshire.
Yes, and of course her nephew was my predecessor's predecessor, Sir Simon Bowes-Lyon. Yes, there's a long-standing connection, so yes. We will try our best to ensure that we can get one of the royal family here.
What do you think you can do with your time there, apart from fulfil your duties? Do you think that, given your background, not just in business, but in young people, entrepreneurs, other activities with youth, do you think the job gives you time to do that? Can you bring something to it?
I sincerely hope so. My first aim, if you like, in the next 10 years is, as I've summarised, to take the lieutenancy to the people of Hertfordshire. The big problem is, I'm imagining if you stop people in the street, probably 90% wouldn't be able to tell you anything about the lieutenancy, what it is, who we are and what we do. That has to change. So we are in the middle of encompassing social media. We're revamping our website and we're trying to get out to the people to tell them here we are. We are a group of people representing Her Majesty the Queen, but we have great contacts. We're here to build bridges. We're here to make connections and we want to be connected to the people of the county.
Now, you can't just walk on down on every high street and in order to do that. You have to be working with other organisations or groups or what,
yes.
How do you do that?
Well, I've set up a number of panels now. I don't like the word committee, so they're panels, in various aspects. So, for example, we have an interfaith panel, we have a health panel, we have an education panel, we have an honours panel, we have a business panel. And these are populated by deputy lieutenants who have an expertise or experience in those areas. So we have a number of doctors, we have people who have been chairman of hospices, we have some senior educationalists, and it's my job really to try and make sure that we use their experience to the advantage of not only the lieutenancy but the people of the county. And similarly, I've set up four panels in each area. So we have a North Hertfordshire, an East Hertfordshire, a Central Hertfordshire and a South and West Hertfordshire. Because it's impossible for us to know what's going on locally. And they, in turn, will have their connections in each of their areas. And that all will feed back into the lieutenancy, into me and the lieutenancy itself, and will be disseminated, hopefully, that information on the website. And we will encourage people to get in contact with us. And hopefully, as I say, we will be able to build bridges, for example, and it's just a typical example, between the business community, of which we are very strong in Hertfordshire. I have some very good deputies with experience in business, and possibly the smaller charities to help them to organise themselves, to help them to show that they are in a competitive world and need to be run like professional businesses. And I don't mean that disrespectfully to any of the outstanding charities we have in the county. So there's an awful lot for us to do. If I can use the expression getting the lieutenancy to the people of the county, then I will have achieved something.
Do you think there'll be specific initiatives such as those you talked about at the beginning, the Young Enterprise? Do you think there'll be opportunity to create new initiatives or just developing ones that exist already?
Yes. When you put 49, hopefully intelligent heads with a lot of experience in different areas together, I mean, we had a workshop just before Christmas. The amount of information and cross-pollination that was coming out between the deputies was fascinating. And I think once that is harnessed, yes, there'll be huge opportunities. And I'm hopeful that the lieutenancy will be at the centre of it all. I'm positive it will be.
You're talking about ways in which you and your colleagues and your associates are trying to reach out. Is there a way in which people can reach to you or to the lieutenancy?
Anybody can and should contact the lieutenancy. We have an office which is based at the County Hall in Hertford. We're all available on email. And of course, people don't realise, but anybody can nominate anybody for an honour. And all the honours come through the lieutenancy office, all the honours in the county. Anybody can nominate anybody else. Anybody can nominate anybody to attend a Royal Garden Party. A lot of this is in the public domain, but unfortunately, the public don't realise this. So another of our duties is to show the public what is out there for them and encourage them to get involved. So yes, I would encourage anybody who has anything of interest to talk about, whether it's to do with the monarchy, whether it's something they feel that the lieutenancy can become involved in or can help them with, to get in contact with us. And also we have a duty, of course, as I said right at the beginning, to maintain the dignity of the crown. You know, the crown is changing, the monarchy is changing, will continue to change over the next few years, and we want to make sure that people respect the crown as it is. I think it's fair to say that the Queen and Prince Philip are highly respected by virtually everybody in the country, if not in the world, and we want to make sure that respect and dignity is maintained. So, for example, we'll be talking to a number of primary school children to explain what the monarchy is, how it's evolved, what their duties are. I think it's important that people understand more about the monarchy rather than just watching them on Netflix or on the BBC.
Well, I hope you'll come back sometime during your stint as Lord Lieutenant and let us know how you're getting on, because I suspect that quite a few things are going to happen quite quickly.
I suspect the same, and I would be absolutely delighted.
Thank you very much, Robert.
My pleasure.
You can find out more about the Lieutenancy by going to the website lord-lieutenant-hearts.org.uk. Later this year, I'm going to interview one of the Deputy Lord Lieutenants about the Queen's Award for Voluntary Service. This is something which a number of the charities in the local area, and some of those that we've already interviewed in this series, have already gained for the work that they do. And I'm sure it's something that more and more charities will aspire to.